can change the world, change the world, change the world.
Oh, yes, we can.
We can change the world, we can change the world, change the world.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Santita Jackson Show. It's a joy to be with you today. On WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station, you hear my printer in the background. I'm going to let that go. We're going to be talking about Brittany Griner and Breonna Taylor. Brittany Griner and Breonna Taylor on the show today. What do you make of those cases? What do you think of 9 years in a penal colony? That's what Brittany Griner's gotten. Russia has shown some interest in a prisoner swap. What do you think about that, everybody? What do you make of the sentencing? Other countries have their laws, and you have to respect that. That having been said, what can we do to get Brittany home? And you're not going to wave a saber in the face of the Russians. It doesn't work that way. That's not how you negotiate someone's release. So what we need to know is, how do we get her home? How do we get Brittany Griner, home to her wife and to her family? How do we get her home? And then Breonna Taylor, more than 800 days, her mother said, they have been waiting for justice. Well, have they gotten accountability? Because justice, well, if you get justice, you'd restore Breonna's life, and that's not going to happen. So let's talk about that. What do you make of this case? What do you make of these the charges against the police officers who killed her? Because remember, initially, the first charges had the police officer being charged for shooting into her neighbor's apartment, not her. Unbelievable. I want to hear your thoughts about that. And what about police reform? Do we need it? How can we get it? How can we get it? Let's have an executive order on that. How about that? We have it on, we're trying to get it on reproductive rights, and do it on this. Call me or text me at 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT and AM 950 Radio. My neighbors and brothers and sisters to the north, Chad Larson and the AM 950 Radio family. Let's get to some of these headlines. In Chicago, we're going to have a high of 83 degrees, partly cloudy. It feels like a beautiful day already. Minneapolis, St. Paul, 93 degrees, mostly sunny. The Dow closed down yesterday 85 points. The NASDAQ closed down 52 points. The S&P 500 closed down 3 points. In Major League Baseball, the Rangers, 3. The White Sox, 2. The Cardinals, 7. The Cubs, 2. And the Blue Jays, 9. And the Twins, 3. Ooh, we kind of, well, we were like 0 for 3 with Chicago's teams and with the Minneapolis Twins. Hopefully they'll have better luck in upcoming games. In the WNBA, the Mystics will be playing the Sky today. Senator Kyrsten Sinema says she will move forward with Democrats' sweeping economic package, significantly smaller than Build Back Better, but we'll take this, signaling key support that can give the party enough votes to push the bill through the Senate and on to the House for final approval. The Inflation Reduction Act, according to this CNN report, is much slimmer than President Joe Biden's initial Build Back Better bill, but it would still represent the largest investment in energy and climate programs in U.S. history. But according to this Common Dreams report, while Sinema vowed to work toward carried interest tax reforms at a future date, her decision to tank Democrats' latest attempt to limit the egregious loophole for private equity moguls and billionaire hedge fund managers likely means changes won't be coming anytime soon, given the close margins in the Senate and GOP opposition. And so what about Kyrsten Sinema? What is she doing? What is she doing? Well, she's throwing a monkey wrench in plans and protecting the wealthiest among us. Be in touch with that. Keep looking at that. In the meantime, New York progressive Congressman Representative Jamal Bowman, who is getting a who's being opposed by someone who a lot of Democratic insiders are supporting. Well, he has introduced a bill to help people, quote, crushed by the burden of high prices. He said, in my district and across the country, people simply cannot afford to live. And so he is introducing the Emergency Price Stabilization Act. If passed by Congress and signed into law, Bowman's bill would do the following: monitor and analyze price changes related to food, energy, housing, health care, transportation, and other goods and services that are vital to the country's health and economic security. This bill would proactively investigate corporate profiteering in those areas, including price gouging linked to supply chain disruptions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In the meantime, he is in the tradition of progressives who have been ripping corporations of late for, quote, using inflation as a cover story to jack up prices. What do you think about that? What do you think about this bill? Should we get it through? Of course we should, as we watch corporate profits soar to record high profits in 2021. And it's been part of a plan, everybody. WNBA star Brittany Griner was sentenced to 9 years of jail time by a Russian court after being convicted on Thursday of deliberately smuggling drugs into the country. Now, mind you, she was heading back to the United States. And she's been sentenced to a penal colony. According to the CNN report, the case has raised concerns that Griner is being used as a pawn in Russia's war with Ukraine. What do you think about that, everybody? 773-763-9278. And how can we get Brittany home? Well, one person who will not come home ever again is Breonna Taylor. Four current and former Louisville police officers have been federally charged with civil rights violations, unlawful conspiracies, unconstitutional use of force, and obstruction in relation to the deadly raid on the home of Breonna Taylor in 2020. Court documents and comments from Attorney General Merrick Garland lay out the particulars. Former Detective Joshua James, Detective Kelly Goodlett, and Sergeant Kyle Meany are accused of submitting a false affidavit to search Taylor's home and conspiring to cover up their actions afterward by creating more false information. Lies, lies, and more lies. We'll be breaking that case down at the bottom of the hour. A penal colony, that is where Brittany Griner is going. The Biden administration has declared monkeypox a public health emergency. The designation will allow for more attention and resources to go toward mitigating the virus. Now, interestingly enough, while we're looking at the gay community in the United States, and the United States has the highest number of cases of monkeypox in the world, in Africa, the primary place of transmission is in the home, and 40% of those carriers are women. Got to talk about that, Pastor Tisha Dixon-Williams, because this goes to our health and how that happens. It's behaving kind of like HIV. Remember, in the United States, it was gay, but in Africa, it was straight. And bottom line, if you got it, you got it. So we need to do something about it. How about that? Yeah, as they declare this an emergency. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has suspended a state attorney over pledges on abortion and gender-affirming care. Andrew Warren has been suspended for not prosecuting people for violating restrictions on abortion or gender-affirming care for those of our trans youth. And this final headline, it's what is alarming is this. Nearly one in three Americans worry about violence and intimidation at the polls, according to this survey from the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism. Nearly one in three, indeed one in three, say that this could impact whether they go vote or not. What do you think about that, everybody? This is where we are. This is where we are today. This, which is why I dig down in the crates to try and find some of these headlines for you, because they're not talking about it in corporate media, but we talk about it here on the Santita Jackson Show and on WCPT and AM 950 Radio. Pastor Tisha Dixon-Williams, now you've got a conference coming up.
I do. I have a conference coming up on August 20th, the Who's That Lady in the Hamptons Conference. You can join us in person and virtually. And our wonderful, amazing keynote speaker is none other than our very own Santita Jackson.
Bless your heart. Now, you know what? I think if you're on a speaker, I'm going to need you to come a lot closer. Okay.
Okay. Yep, none other than Santita Jackson is our keynote speaker, and we are excited. Cannot wait. And so if you all want to experience Santita and the Who's That Lady in the Hamptons Conference, just go to whosthatladymen.com under events and you can register. We'd love to have you.
Well, we want to remind people to get your book. I see you, sis. I see you, sis.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Women need to be seen. How about that?
That is the truth.
Seen and heard.
And heard.
Seen and heard. I think I might have found my text.
I love that. Seen and heard. Oh, I love that. Yes.
Seen and heard. Absolutely. So talk to me. What is the good news today? You know, it just gets crazier and crazier. And every day, it's something that blows my mind.
Every day is a new adventure. And that's kind of a little bit what I want to talk about today. Today, I want to talk about your faults, your faults. So I do love mountain climbing. I love mountains. I love the energy that mountains give. And one of the adventures on my bucket list, believe it or not, is to climb Mount Everest. I'll be honest and say that I have no desire to summit Everest, but I would at least like to climb it to base camp. And one of the reasons I don't want to summit Mount Everest is because every day, no matter what you do, you have to go over an area called the Khumbu Ice Fault. The Khumbu Ice Fault. There are other ways of getting up the mountain, but this is the most efficient and easy way to get up. It's the fastest route on what they call the South Col. And every day you have to go over these ice faults. And there are huge crevasses, huge crevices that you have to get over where there's a ladder connecting one side to the other. And because of global warming, they are melting at a rapid pace, which causes it to be more difficult because the ice is shifting and the ice is constantly moving. It's the movement of the glacier that causes collapsing areas. And so you cannot get to the peak of the mountain without first climbing this ice fault. And I want to encourage somebody and say today, you have been trying to avoid your faults. You have a fear of acknowledging the faults and acknowledging some of the things you may have done wrong in life. I want to encourage you today that the only way to reach the top of the mountain is to go over your faults. When I say go over them, I'm not saying you have to mesh through them with a fine-tooth comb. I'm saying you have to get over them. You have to move past them in order to get to a place that puts you on top. And how do we do that? The problem with it always feeling like a failure is it gives you a sense of hopelessness, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem. You have a poor self-concept of yourself right now, and you continue to stay in the valley because you just can't get over some of the negative things that you have done. But the first thing I'm going to encourage you to do is embrace your emotions. Go ahead and feel it. Some of us just want to brush past bad feelings in favor of getting to the good. But today you have to embrace your emotions. Yeah, failure makes us feel bad. It makes us feel angry and sad and shamed, to name just a few. But feel it. Allow yourself to feel how you're feeling. Recognize your unhealthy attempts to reduce your pain. I know you want to say, you know, I didn't want that job anyway. No, because that leads us to distracting ourselves with food and drugs. So recognize your unhealthy attempts. Acknowledge your irrational beliefs about failure. Just because you misstepped at one thing doesn't mean you're going to fail at everything. It's like the old adage, try, try, and try again. Accept an appropriate level of responsibility. Have a great assessment on maybe what you did wrong and what other outside factors contributed to your failure. Look for explanations and not excuses. And then I want you to research famous failures. The people that you see now that are glowing and have to shine on, that are doing great in life, let me tell you something. They started somewhere. From Thomas Edison to Walt Disney, there's no shortage of famous failures. Think about the people you admire most and learn to understand that, guess what? They failed too, but you can bounce back. So I don't know what kind of crevices you're trying to get over, what pit you're avoid falling into because of your fault, but you can never get to the top of the mountain if you do not acknowledge them. And remember, we serve a God that looks beyond our fault and sees our needs, and that's the good news.
Well, you know what? Let me share this with you. I had a conversation with a friend yesterday. And this woman, black woman, I say this in this important for this reason, everybody, for all my white and Latinx and indigenous brothers and sisters, because African Americans have had a unique experience in the United States. And I would say indigenous people obviously have had that because although they were not enslaved, they were genocided. And they had their land stolen from them. They've had a horrific, horrific experience during this American project, during this European colonial project. And we're talking because, you know, she and I are going to get together. And she said, you know, I'm going through a divorce right now. That was a surprise to me. I didn't know that. And she said, but, you know, but I'm doing great. I'm moving and everything is, you know, and I'm just going forward. I said, you're not doing great. You're in a lot of pain right now. I said, so let's put aside what we were going to talk about with respect to the work that we're going to do together. And let's talk about that. Because you hadn't planned on divorcing this man. You hadn't planned on needing to do that. And I think you need to give yourself the space to feel some pain. And to get and receive support, Pastor Tisha. Because oftentimes, because the word on black women is that we're angry. Dr. Brenda Wade brilliantly points out we're not angry, we're depressed. And then, because we are pressed down, we have a lot of pain that goes unacknowledged. And we're the strong black woman. Just strong, resilient. It doesn't, but you know, we take these hits and we just keep on going. You know, we're in a lot of pain. I said, I've not been married, but I keep hearing that when people talk about a divorce, it's like a death. It's like the worst thing that can happen to you. One of the worst. And yes. I said, so let's back this up a minute. Mm-hmm. And we ended up, the whole conversation shifted to that. The rest of our conversation, I said, now we can return to what you called me about. Let's do that tomorrow, the next day. There's time mm-hmm. for that. But my sister, today, mm-hmm. you needed to say that to me, and you needed some support. And you got it.
Right. That's right.
What do you think about that? I mean, because we just keep on going and we're limping. I mean, if you broke your leg, you'd go to the emergency room because heaven knows you'd be in a lot of pain. But when your spirit gets broken, we just keep on going. Pastor, talk to me about that.
I know you're absolutely right. Women are really good at just kind of putting a Band-Aid on that which needs
surgery,
more deeper. Correct. You are great at putting a Band-Aid on what needs sutures. Seriously, and you know, really, that's the theme of the conference this year is selfish, redefining what it means to look towards self and really take care of self, even beyond the phrase of self care. I think that some people mistake self care for just manicures and massages. In my mind, that's maintenance. But self-care includes so much more. It includes getting the help that you need when you need it. As you stated, asking for the help that you need when you need it. It means taking a breather. It means taking a nap. It means being okay to stepping out of a negative situation in order to heal yourself. It means having boundaries. Self-care is about living a life that self-care is not an emergency every time you have it. It's about being proactive in life. And I propose that we also move from a place of self-care to self-curation. Mm. If you think about a curator, and we're going to be talking about that. If you think about what a curator does at a gallery, a curator takes a piece and exposes it to the world, but does so in a way that it exposes it in its best light. But it doesn't cover up the flaws. As a matter of fact, the curator will notice some of the flaws and inconsistencies in a piece that make it so beautiful. But the thing I also love about the idea of self-curation is that it's ever evolving. And I think we need to take the time to do that in every area, not just self-care, but self-curation. And every day, I'm making a conscious effort to develop me, to develop me so that my light might shine. And that starts with sometimes asking for help. It's okay not to know what you don't know. I don't know. I think that's one of the most profound and wise things anyone can say. I don't know. And sit in that and enjoy it. Because here's the greatest thing. if you don't know, it could be anything. If you're not sure about what your future holds, that's a great place to be in because it could hold anything. And so I think sometimes, yes, we have to practice self-care, self-curation, self-awareness, and know when we need help, especially as us as women of color. We have a tendency to carry the load for everyone. Everyone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had to share that with you today because I've been in a really contemplative and reflective place. You know, I shared with all of my Santita Jackson Show family. I lost one of my dearest friends in the world. There was no one closer to me than Candace Simmons. And she died in the middle of the night last year. And it's been devastating. It really has been. You know, when you lose your girl, you're like, I've lost my right arm. And I have. But, you know, God also regenerates and restores. And it was time for her to go home. And it was time for me to continue on with the work that I still have yet to do. But I thought about many of our conversations down through the years. I thought about some conversations I've been having because we're pulling together a documentary about my father. It's been very hard for him to tell his life because what most people don't know is that he has a lot of pain in it. He's known nothing but rejection throughout his whole life. First time he really had true acceptance was when he got married and had kids. You know, he was born out of wedlock. His father didn't really embrace him for a whole lot of reasons. God bless him. And it just never stops. He's always had to fight for acceptance and for a place. And I thought about just growing up with the threat of death with him every day and how that shaped my life. And how the expectations of the community, trying to hold up the community, how it shaped my life. So much so that when I went to college, I was a mess, Pastor Tesh. I was struggling. Here I am, this merit scholar. I've come out 10th in my class in the top high school in Chicago. And I am struggling because I want to please my mother. I didn't even know what it was like to. For the first time in my life, I was not self-directed. And it was the most frightening place to be. But I didn't know how to ask for help. And quite frankly, most of the people around me didn't know how to help. And so I think that it's important for us to be in this space at this particular time in history so that we can know that there's no shame in, as my father said, falling down. And there was no one closer to me as I struggled than my dad. He said, baby, there's no shame in falling down. He said, the tragedy is when you don't get up. He said, all your life you've been able to go from point A to point B. He said, that's nice, but that's not real life. Real life takes you off to the side of the road, Jericho Road. The Good Samaritan had to help someone who had fallen by the wayside. Had that person not fallen by the wayside, we wouldn't have that parable. We just have to keep on, you know, just affirming each other. And we need the affirmation when we're in the worst way. So I want to thank you for all of the work that you do. And I want people to get your book, I See You, Sis, because I See You, Sis speaks to that. It speaks to those of us who feel unseen, who feel unheard, who are unvoiced.
That's right. And yet who are hidden in plain sight.
Standing right there before you. Standing right there before you. I'm so looking forward to being with you. Very quickly, I've got about 10 seconds. How can we get registered for your conference?
Sure. If you go to Who's That Lady Men, no apostrophe in the who'sthatladymen.com, you can find the link there to register for the conference.
God bless you. I love you so much. Brittany Griner, everybody, sentenced to 9 years in a penal colony. Breonna Taylor, did she get justice or accountability? Back with more of the Santita Jackson Show in just a minute.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Santita Jackson Show. What do you think of Brittany Griner? Brittany Griner's been sentenced to 9 years in prison. 9 years in prison, 9 years at a penal colony, no less. What does that mean? And what can be done to get her home? How about that? And we are essentially, we are in war with Ukraine. The United States is. I mean, not with Ukraine. We are really at war with Russia. The United States is. I mean, let's just keep it 100. So how do we negotiate for her release? What are we going to have to give up? What are we willing to give up? And we need to do something because she needs to get home. What do you think about that, everybody? Call me at 773-763-9278. They said she was trying to smuggle drugs into the country, but she was actually trying to get out the country. She was trying to get home, and she wouldn't have been in the country if she were paid fairly. Oops, as someone, as a top-level athlete. So let's talk about that today. Let's talk about that, and let's talk about justice for Breonna Taylor. We've got a lot to unpack. Before we get to Attorney Robert Petillo and Attorney Janice Mathis, let us speak to Shapiro about celebrations by us. Yum, yum. But you have something else going on this weekend.
Yes, Santita. We are actually hosting our 6th annual Courtney Copeland Memorial Foundation back to school book bag giveaway, and we are hosting that on Sunday, August 7th from 2 to 6 at 1400 South 58th Court at the Light of the World Church. We are actually giving away approximately around 300 book bags, and we are actually also doing face painting, free haircuts, as well as also free refreshments. And we're also doing a couple of raffles. So don't hesitate to give us a call if you need more information. 708-526-4546. 708-526-4546. Or visit us at www.copelandmemorial.com. Thank you so much, Santita.
Oh, God bless you. Wishing you well with this endeavor. This is fantastic. In fact, you've been doing this for quite some time. And we're just excited for you. And again, where will this be held and at what time?
Yes, it's Sunday, August 7th from 2 to 6 p.m. while supplies last. And that's 1400 South 58th Court. And that's Cicero, Illinois, 60804. And like I said, if you need more information, please visit us at www.copelandmemorial.com.
Amen to that. Doing great work with that foundation as you remember your son's life and build upon that legacy, your family legacy. Sending you much love, Shapiro Wells. Everybody, let's talk about Brittany Griner. Let's start there. What happened? The Russians found her guilty of smuggling drugs into the country, although she was trying to leave the country. What do you think about that? Where does Ukraine fit in all of this? America's fulsome support for Ukraine, where does that fit in all of this? And what about the prisoner swaps that Russia is now hinting or saying that they're open to? What should we do? We say we don't give in to terrorists. Well, this is not terrorism. This is a government with whom we are effectively at war. So what does this mean? Breonna Taylor and her case. Did she get justice or accountability? This medical worker was shot and killed by police officers. There was so little regard for her and her life, that the initial charges against a police officer, he was charged with shooting into her neighbor's apartment, not her. Not the shots that killed her, no. So let's start with you, Attorney Robert Petillo, host of your own show on WAOK every Sunday from 1 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Talk to me. Let's go back. What are the charges against Brittany Griner? And 9 years, she could have been sentenced up to 10 years. Was that excessive? What do you think? What are we looking at?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at this. You have to look at it by the American standard and then by Russian standards. Russia is a very conservative society. So if you're traveling there, think about it being very similar to if you're traveling to the Middle East under Sharia law, under many of the more restrictive laws, particularly pertaining to women in that country. So Ms. Griner, having played in Russia for multiple seasons, was probably aware of that. What she's charged with is one, possession of drugs and narcotics, drug smuggling, which is a very separate federal crime in their country, and then a few other minor charges. But the totality can come out to a maximum sentence of 9 years in custody. Now, in Russia and in many other countries, they do not do prison, quote unquote, the way that we do here in America. Here in America, you're in a air-conditioned room with television, rec center, human rights, those sorts of things. Russia is still very much on the gulag system, where instead of treating prisoners with a human right, normally they are sent out to a penal colony somewhere in the far Siberian wilderness of Russia to do manual labor. Russia is a petro-state with a declining population. They do not have enough people or workers to harvest the hydrocarbons that are needed. Therefore, they use prison labor to do so. So more than likely, this Griner would end up in one of these penal colonies working for the petro-state. If you are lucky, you end up in the east of Russia or the western Russia, the west of the Urals, working on one of the wheat plantations or in some other agriculture-related business, and that keeps you out of the Siberian wilderness. With regards to the sentence is excessive, under normal Russian sentencing guidelines, is about average. They take drugs very seriously there for at least poor people. Rich people can do what they feel like, just as in America. I think what we also have to remember that in America, possession of marijuana is still a felony. In this country, it's a Schedule One drug. We just had the former NBA player Mon Shumpert arrested at the Dallas airport while I was at the Dallas airport for bringing marijuana into that airport. And he's facing several years of prison for that also. He was there with 6 ounces of marijuana versus the residue of hash oil that Brittany Griner did. But we can't ignore American drug policy when we criticize Russian drug policy. There are plenty of people sitting in jail in America for 20 and 30 years for marijuana, just as Brittany Griner is currently scheduled to sit in jail for 9 years for marijuana in Russia. Now, when it comes to the prisoner swap, Russia right now has no intention of holding Brittany Griner for 9 years. What they are doing, however, is holding out for a better deal. The Viktor Boot deal has been on the table for several weeks now. I think I talked about it on your show over a month ago before it made the mainstream media. What Russia is under the belief system is that they have a valuable bargaining chip. So if I can, why just take Viktor Boot, who has already been in prison for over a decade, who's coming up for parole? They see that as the floor of a deal as opposed to the ceiling. In reality, the Russian military budget is about $63 billion per year. So far, America is giving Ukraine right about $50 billion to support their military and humanitarian aid thus far. What Russia would really like is for America to stop funneling money to Ukraine so they can finish their war there more easily. And I think that is their current negotiating position, that they want to help the war effort, and Brittany Griner is caught in the middle of it. And this is the problem whenever you start negotiating with quote-unquote terrorists or with enemy nations, that once they realize you're at the table, of course they're going to try to run up the score to get as much out of it as possible. I do think Ms. Griner will come home probably within the next 6 months, but I do think it's going to take the type of diplomatic dance that we haven't seen America do in recent years. Very often in the past, we've seen former presidents take these endeavors. Jimmy Carter was always good for a prisoner swap or a hostage negotiation. Bill Clinton has done it before. Of course, Reverend Jackson has done it more than anybody on the international stage. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if the Biden administration reaches out to some of these individuals to see if you can take it perhaps out of the State Department and into the senior state for humanitarian role to find out if you can negotiate. They have to stop talking about Putin as some insane madman, non-rational actor in international politics. He has goals, he has interests, he has assets, and you have to negotiate from that point of view. We have to stop talking about these people like the cartoon villains and talk about them as actual world leaders.
Attorney Janice Mathis, were you surprised? Of course, she is the executive director of the National Council of Negro Women, the most prominent and the oldest black women's organization in the United States, founded by Mary McLeod Bethune, who was just honored at the Capitol by having a statue unveiled of her there. And that's where she belongs, part of FDR's kitchen cabinet. God rest her soul. Talk to me. Were you surprised by the nine years? And she's going to be on a penal colony, Attorney Mathis, a penal colony. Not that we expected her to go to some luxury resort, but wow, it is a different society.
It is a different society. Good morning, Santita. Thank you for having me this morning. Good morning to your guests. Hi, Robert. I think I was not surprised at the 9 years. It was fairly predictable. I agree with Robert about running up the score. Once you've got somebody high profile, famous, world famous, not only famous in the United States, but very well known in Russia, that the Russian system would try to make an example of her and try to get as much out of the United States as they can. It is an extremely awkward time, but I want to put something else on the scale. What got us to this point where there is a negotiation is the extraordinary coordinated pressure from black women around the United States on behalf of Brittany Griner. It wasn't reported so much in the news because it wasn't designed to be reported in the news, but there was extraordinary coordination of messages and letters and Zoom calls and other types of influence on this administration that candidly must admit that it owes black women a lot. And so when black women ask for a black vice president, or black women ask for a black Supreme Court justice, or black women ask for the return of a basketball player, the administration knows they ignore those calls at their peril. And so it's really a little bit of a display of black girl power, if you know what I mean. And bought honestly, with integrity, with a whole lot of organizing and turning out of the vote for this administration. But it is awkward, because now you've got the two-for-one swap, and I suspect the United States is going to, the family of the other gentleman who is incarcerated is not going to be satisfied with explanations that are political in nature. They want their loved one home, too. We've had this posture in the United States that we don't negotiate for hostages. And it makes sense, because if you negotiate for one, then anybody who's got somebody held in the United States, and we have prisoners, too, from abroad, would say, well, if you want to get your person back, arrest a high-profile American, and you'll get them to the table. But I do think that this is a little bit of a special example. The other thing is, if women basketball players were paid a fraction, let's say a quarter, of what the average man who plays basketball makes, Brittany probably never would have been in Russia in the first place.
She wouldn't have to play a second season, because essentially you have her playing like year round.
I mean, you got women basketball players making less than $100,000 and men making, I don't know how many, multiple times that. So there are a lot of factors to be considered, but don't sleep on the fact that there was extraordinary pressure for the president to pay attention to this.
What are the next steps? Because black women are at the center of this activism, calling for her imprisonment, her detention at the time, to be acknowledged. And now now she is going to prison. And she could be there for 9 years. She could be. And, you know, fortunately, I see this Yahoo news report that says that she is, quote, won over, close quote, her prison guards and inmates. And they reassured her as she finished her trial, because they don't feel that she's being treated fairly. And then when LeBron James said that he didn't feel that America was doing enough, he inferred that. Well, he implied that, and we can infer that from his, you know, from his saying that, you know, hey, I know she wonders, you know, should I even come back here? Because no one's...
I don't think she wonders. I doubt she wonders.
No, I'm saying he was saying that in response to the lack of outcry, right? So what's next, Attorney Mathis?
I think she's going to serve enough time to get the United States to give Russia the very best deal that we have to offer. And that she'll be released in a year or less, is what I think. I think the pressure will continue. I think the calls for her release, that you saw the strong statement that President Biden put out. She's not been treated fairly. The sentence is inappropriate. I think you'll continue to hear some of that. I tend to think, too, though, that, you know, the Bill Clinton, Jesse Jackson, some of those type people went to Russia and could be received by Putin, could make a difference.
Why do you say that?
Because of the lack of immediate political consequence for those type people. They're not running for anything. They're not commanding any armies. They're not sending any aid to the Ukraine. They are, in some sense, above politics. And that's where this needs to be kicked up to, is a human rights, human compassion, less political.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Robert, what say you? What say you? Because people have been floating these different names. They've been floating Reverend Jackson's name. You know, Reverend Sharpton has tried to get involved. Reverend Jackson, of course, has a substantial history with doing this sort of thing with governments with whom America's government is at odds. And he's done it without betraying our government, but staying, as Janice Mathis knows, in this Jackson King tradition, this King Jackson tradition, and going through the churches, Janice. I mean, I think the people need to understand, Reverend has always gone with Reverend Dr. Joan, and the World Council of Churches. He's been invited by the principal churches of these countries to come.
I was fortunate enough to go with him on a mission to Greece, and we met with the Coptic churches and all over Greece and that part of the world, Turkey, and just very well received, very well known, very much respected. A step or two away from politics. And I think that could be helpful in this situation.
Attorney Petillo.
Well, just to piggyback on Janice's point, that this is ultimately a political question. And Putin is a politician just as anyone else is, because he has to play to his people at home. I had Reverend Jackson on Russian TV in Moscow, I think it was the week before last, talking about this issue. And part of the point that the Russians make is, aren't these exact same things illegal in America? And they are. And so President Biden wants to get on the right foot on this. One, it has to be cannabis decriminalization on the federal level. Take that arrow out of their quiver, where they can simply say, you have people in prison right now for the same thing. How are you accusing me of human rights violations? Because they've said this to me, the Russians.
Robert, be candid. Now, you know, nobody in the United States is getting 10 years for simple possession. I get it, but that's not an equivalent.
Of course it is, but it's a question of degree, not of kind. And of course, they're using it to...
There's a big difference in kind.
And also, this was before the Senate thing took place, when we had this conversation. So it made the response be different there. But I think that would be a good place for the administration to start, to say, well, we are moving the area of progress going forward. And I think, secondarily, you have Putin is under the most severe sanctions that any nation has been under in the history of the current world order. Oil and natural gas is cut off. They've lost billions in sales. Airplanes can't land. They can't buy parts. They can't buy bread. McDonald's is gone. IKEA is gone, etc. They're going to want the easing of sanctions in a public way, not this private easing of sanctions that we've seen the U.S. do previously. They're going to want it public to sort of Putin get a win for the people at home, because that way he can maintain support for the Ukrainian war and the further expansion of their war effort. I think without that, it's going to take somebody like a Reverend Jackson, like a Bill Clinton, somebody from outside of government to be able to make the humanitarian appeal, because Putin does understand that he looks like a monster on the world stage for holding her. But if he can somehow come out of this with a nice press conference and pictures holding hands and looking like the hero, that may be what it takes for him to unilaterally release her. So it's going to take some combination of those things, but I don't think the idea of, like, just saying we wanted to come home and they put on a plane home, I don't think that's going to be the ultimate outcome. It's going to take a negotiation.
Well, I mean, and this would also put him in alignment with his allies in the global south, because India, China, most of Africa have been in sympathy with him in this Russia, United States, Ukraine conflict, and NATO and the Western powers. And so politically, I think we shouldn't that at least be part of the calculus, Attorney Mathis?
I think so. Although I think if Mr. Putin is concerned about his reputation with his people, he might stop slaughtering people that they're kin to, their cousins in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit far-fetched to think that his reputation at home rises or falls on what he does with one American basketball player, but rather the people of Russia don't know the truth about what's going on in the Ukraine.
Well, and we're not talking about the Azov Battalion, who are Nazis, you know, and they are running the military in Ukraine. So there's a whole lot that's not being told about what happens in Ukraine, because Ukraine gets pulled into Western Europe and into Russia. They go back and forth all just historically. They've done that. But, I mean, I think that we need to talk about the Azov Battalion. You know, that's a real thing, because these are full-on Nazis, and everybody keeps trying to deny their existence, and everyone knows that they exist. And all you have to do is look at how the blacks have been treated over there. I mean, come on.
Well, we have our own problem with Nazis, don't we?
Yeah.
As was on display yesterday with the gentleman from
Orban. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, we got our own Nazi problem.
Preaching racial
purity
at CPAC.
And see, that's right. We are not really in a position to play that card.
Oh, said the lady from Greenville, South Carolina. Not Greenville. Greenville. Oh my gosh. I really can't take it. We have a whole lot going on. I will say this to you as we go to break, and, you know, hang around with me, because we're going to continue to talk about this. I remember my father had Mary Bates Washington, who was his Washington secretary, come and pick me up. I just finished taking my first final second semester at Howard University when I was a freshman. And so I'm excited, and I feel like, oh, big yawn. I've gotten that off my back. And she said, you know, and my dad called me that morning. He said, I really want you to come, and I've got to testify at the U.S. Senate, and Daddy wants you to be there. I said, oh, okay. Oh, okay, okay, okay. I planned to run out with my friends to have lunch, but I was going to be with my dad. That was cool. And so we went up there, and, of course, most prominent among the senators was your beloved senator, Strom Thurmond, who my father,
oh my
as
goodness.
You know, can do a dead-on imitation of, right? And so he walked me up to Senator Thurmond after, as the hearing was over, all the senators were greeting Reverend and all of that. And he said, my baby, I want you to meet my baby. She is a freshman, and she's a rising sophomore at Howard University. He said, oh, my goodness, great Negro school.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that was too rich. I said, oh, thank you. And my father and I cracked up. After the encounter was over, I said, I can't wait to tell Dr. Cheek, who was the president of the university. He said, I'm calling Jim right now. I'm just going to let him know that he's the president of a great Negro school.
Great Negro school.
Ooh, 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 not Negro. Not the N-word. Negro. I said, thank you. Thank you very much. The alma mater
people
of
could only imagine.
Marshall. Well, girl, look, and he was your senator. Y'all kept putting him in for 100 years. I'm just, you can't.
And look, I almost got sent home from Girl State one of these, you know, pretend you're a legislator conferences for teenagers.
Yes.
I wouldn't stand up when Strom Thurmond came in the room, and they threatened to send us all back home.
Now, that's why you're living in Washington now. So stay right here. Stay right here, everybody. Let's talk about Breonna Taylor and Brittany Griner on the Santita Jackson Show. And guess what? I've got a contest coming up. How many people want to go to Chula Vista? But that's going to happen in just a few minutes. I'm back with more of the Santita Jackson Show.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Santita Jackson Show. I'm Santita Jackson, coming to you from WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station, and AM 950 radio. I have a contest, everybody. That's right. Get ready. Chula Vista Resort Grand Prize Package. It's worth about $1,000, and it is something fabulous. A one-night stay, Monday through Thursday, 4 water park passes and a villa studio, $25 dinner voucher, 4 canyon passes, zip line passes. Now, Alfonso won yesterday. He said he's going to be on the zip line again. I can't, you know, when you fly through the air over the Wild Blue Yonder, yeah, he's going to do that. And you can do that, too, for 2 adults and 2 kids. 2 18 holes, whole rounds of golf. Fabulous. So who wants to win this? I want you to call me at 773-763-9278. 773-763-9278. And I want you to stay on the phone so I can congratulate you when we get on the air. Paul is going to answer the phone. So call us at 773-763-9278 if you want a one-night stay, 4 water park passes at the Chula Vista Resort. It's fabulous, everybody. Dinner voucher, 4 canyon pass zip, 4 canyon pass zip line passes, 18 hole rounds of golf. It's $1,000, and it can be yours. That's right. That's because we love you here at WCPT. So everybody, please call me at 773-763-9278 and let me know. First one who calls. Let's take caller number 2, Paul. Okay, and then what we'll do is we'll bring you on so that you can get your prize. All right, everybody. In Chicago, we're going to have a high of 83 degrees, partly cloudy. Minneapolis, St. Paul, 93 degrees, mostly sunny. And the Dow closed down yesterday 85 points. The NASDAQ closed up 52 points. And the S&P 500 closed down 3. In Major League Baseball, the Minnesota and Chicago teams, none of them fared really well yesterday, but better luck next time. The Rangers 3, the White Sox 2, the Cardinals 7, the Cubs 2, the Blue Jays 9, and the Twins 3. In the WNBA, the Mystics will be playing the Sky later on today. Senator Kyrsten Sinema said she will move forward with Democrats' sweeping economic package, signaling key support that could give the party enough votes to push the bill through the Senate and on to the House for final approval. The Inflation Reduction Act is much slimmer than President Biden's initial Build Back Better bill, but it would still represent the largest investment in energy and climate programs in U.S. history. It would also extend expiring health care subsidies for 3 years and give Medicare the power to negotiate prescription drug prices. New taxes would help pay for it all. So what do you think about that, everybody? What do you think about that? As we are looking at monkeypox and you know, the United States is the home for monkeypox right now. We have more cases than any other place in the world. But it's interesting. We're looking at the gay community in the United States, but monkeypox outbreaks in Africa are not concentrated among gay men. They're concentrated among families. Outbreaks of the viral disease have been reported from 78 countries, mostly in Europe. And 98% of the countries outside the countries in Africa where it is endemic have been reported in men who have sex with men, according to the World Health Organization. But in Africa, where repeated outbreaks have been documented since the 70s, the pattern of transmission is different, according to experts. It's currently 60% of the cases that they have, 40% are women. 40% of women, and more than 80% of the cases in Africa where transmission had happened before, and that typically people were initially exposed to the virus through contact with animals before passing it on to household members. It's very interesting how it is transmitted one way in one part of the world and in another way. But now we have a shortage of vaccine supply, a shortage of monkeypox vaccine supply, and the FDA is considering dividing the doses into fifths. Will the vaccines work then? What do you think about that, everybody? Call me, text me at 773-763-9278, 773-763-9278. Let me know what you're thinking about this. And, wow, there's just so much to report. There's so much to report. But CK and everyone on this call, Reverend Thurston and Daryl Jones, Attorney Daryl Jones, and C.K. Hoffler, and you, Robert Battillo, there is a study from the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism that shows that nearly one in three Americans worry about violence and intimidation at the polls. Indeed, they say that the threat of violence and intimidation at the polls could stop them from going to vote. You know we're going to talk about that next week, Daryl. Can't wait to talk about that. And, of course, the two big headlines today are about Brittany Griner, sentenced to 9 years in a penal colony, everybody, by the Russian court. Breonna Taylor, four current and former Louisville police officers have been federally charged with civil rights violations, unlawful conspiracies, unconstitutional use of force, and obstruction in relation to the deadly raid on the home of Breonna Taylor. They're basically accused of submitting a false affidavit to search her home. They're accused of lying, everybody. Going to get into that with this tremendous legal panel. But in the meantime, I want you to know that you need to reach out to Team Hochberg if you are struggling financially. If you're trying to build your credit, rebuild your credit, if you're trying to knock down credit card debt, if you are using your debit card, you shouldn't use that. You need to get a credit card. How do you get in the position to get a credit card? They can help you to do that. If you want to refinance your existing home, if you want to begin to get on track to buy a home, get your credit together, create a savings plan. These are the things that Team Hochberg will do. If you want to secure a VA loan, find out about reverse mortgages, see if they will work for you. Please call them at 855-56-DAVID, 855-56-DAVID, or go to 56David.com, 56David.com. Tom and Sonia did. They have two kids. They constantly struggle to pay their 6% mortgage. And 17 credit cards gave them $100,000 worth of debt. They called Team Hochberg. Team Hochberg got them an FHA loan, a plan to pay off their 17 cards, and guess what? Reduced their monthly payments by over $2,800. That could be you. Call them at 855-56-DAVID, 855-56-DAVID, or visit them at 56David.com. I want a winner. I want a winner. Oh, my goodness. Paul, do we have James from New Lenox? James, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And yourself?
I am doing well. Hold on one moment. I think we need some sound effects. Can we give them some applause or something? Like a yay, everybody, something, Paul? Well, you got it coming from me. It's got to get louder than that, Paul. What? Yeah. That's a little smattering of applause. But congratulations to you. You're from New Lenox?
Yes, I am.
Oh, are you going to go on the zip line?
I show all the time.
Oh, James, that is so sweet.
I'm going to try. Yeah.
You're going to get on the zip line?
I think what you talk about on your show is, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I don't know if my wife is going to get on with me, but we'll see.
She makes good sense. But you were saying about the show. I'm sorry, James.
Well, I listen to your show all the time, typically on my way to work, and I think it's fantastic, all the topics that you discuss. You touch on very important issues and things that need to be discussed, so thank you so much for what you do.
Oh, bless your heart, and thank you for listening. You know, we're going to do something, and I hope that when we have this, you know, a socially safe and a physically safe get-together before it gets too cold, I hope that you'll come on out from New Lenox.
All right. Well, thanks for letting me know that. I'll look for that.
But you know what? Now, wait a minute. If you do this zip line, and I know your wife, because she makes good sense, she's not going to do it, okay?
Oh, yeah, she's not.
Oh, my gosh. If you do it, would you? Well, no matter what, I want you to call us after you go to the Chula Vista Resort and let us know how everything was. But I want you to tell me about the zip line, please.
Oh, now I got to do it.
No, you don't. Really, you don't. But, I mean, to see you, to think of you flying through the air, I'm like, really? James? What?
I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. And I might even try and talk the wife into it, but we'll see.
Honey, you're not going to move your wife. You know that.
I know.
Look, I've watched my parents for 60 years. When my mother says no, she means no.
I know. That's exactly how it's going to go, too. I'm debating if I'm going to try it. I want to, but, you know, wanting to and actually doing it are two different things.
Well, do you play golf?
I'm getting into it now. I'm trying to. I'm 44 years old, and I'm getting more and more into it, and I'm getting my son into it now, too. He's 13, so he's kind of sparked my interest in it.
Well, James.
So I got the clubs.
Take him out on the golf course. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, this is so wonderful. Please call me. Let me know how it goes for you.
I definitely will. Thank you again so much.
Oh, you're such a sweetie. But stay right there because I've got to get your information to Melissa Rizzi because she brought this to me, and I'm so glad that she's done that. But stay because we need to make sure that we have all of your information so that you can get your $1,000 package. Okay?
Great. And keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for your support. It means so much. I do it for you.
All right.
Blessings to you. All right. He's going to be on that zip line. CK, I just don't know what to say. Attorney Darrell Jones from the Transformative Justice Coalition. Indeed, he's the chair. We've got Reverend Stephen Thurston, teaching pastor at Salem Baptist Church, the House of Hope. And we've got, we still have attorney, and WAOK host, Robert Cotillo. Attorney C.K. Hoffler, wow. I mean, it was just like bam, bam yesterday. You got Breonna Taylor. And you got, and we got this Brittany Griner. She's going to be at a penal colony. She's been sentenced to 9 years in a penal colony. Wow. What's the path to get her out?
Well, Santita, I can tell you the path to have prevented her from going in would have been for the family to have reached out to your dad, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. And I say that for no other reason other than reflect on what's happened in history. We know that your dad, over time, over the years, over decades, has been able to secure the freedom of many Americans overseas who were incarcerated, who were detained for one reason or another, and so many different countries. I had the honor of participating in freeing two U.S. citizens over the past 5 years with your dad taking the lead. And we've talked about this previously. There's something magical about, you know, Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, of course, because he has not only built up over close to seven decades political capital, but faith-based capital. I mean, after all, he is a minister by training, by trade. He's a reverend. And he is someone who has always been able to broker peace where there is no peace, broker and secure the release of Americans when the U.S. government failed, when all of the traditional either governmental or private sector efforts failed. Because a lot of times when people are detained in a foreign country, when U.S. citizens are detained in a foreign country, particularly when the family may have resources, they will hire interveners, third parties, to try to secure the release of their loved ones. I mean, that is not uncommon. And a lot of times those efforts fail. And that is done, in fact, when the efforts of the U.S. government fail. So even when all of those efforts have failed many times, time and again, I believe every time that he has been involved in securing the release of U.S. citizens, he has succeeded in getting them out of prison. And I really wish that there had been significant efforts to get Reverend Jackson to get involved, because I believe that the outcome would have been completely different. His international presence, power, sway is unparalleled, quite frankly. And that's why he's able to do things that others cannot do, accomplish things that others can't accomplish, because they know the freedom fighter that he is. They know how he stands in solidarity for people, whether they're in unions, whether they're fighting against colonialism, whether fighting in a struggle, He's been there, done that, proved it over and over again, and the international community stands and recognizes it, especially head of state. We have to remember that Reverend Jackson has fought along head of state, some head of state over the years, against tyranny, against a lot of oppression, because voter suppression is voter suppression, whether you're in the United States and Tupelo, Mississippi, or whether you are in the what used to be the Soviet Union, or whether you're in Russia, or whether you're in any of the countries in Africa. So that is, I feel terribly for her. There was a terrible miscarriage of justice. I'm not surprised, Santina, because they put their trust in the hands of people who were using her as a political toy. Not toy, but toy. And she was caught in the crossfires. The typical sentence for someone who was accused of what she's been accused of, the average sentence is 5 years, and a lot of times that sentence is commuted. But here she's serving the maximum penalty with very shoddy evidence. There were some procedural issues along the way, including, you know, her fail to have representation when she was at the airport examining documents and signing things and using, can you imagine, a Google translator to understand what she was signing. She had inadequate representation from the inception. And even under Russian law, there is recognition of the need or the right to have counsel, the right to understand what you're being charged with, the right to be able to recognize the various charges. And none of that did she have from the inception. In many courts throughout the world, those charges would have been dropped for the procedural faux pas. But yet it went on and on and on and on. And she did ultimately have, I believe, counsel. I can't say if they were able counsel, but I'm assuming the able counsel that represented and defended her to the best of their ability. But when there's a political issue amiss, and I'm not saying she did or didn't, she did admit to some form of impropriety, not anything intentional that would require her to go away for 9 years, where she intentionally did something, but really negligently, accidentally. And by the way, the amount found on her was so negligible that in most country, she would not have been charged even. But we when we travel as Americans or in any foreign national, you have to observe the local laws. Ignorance of the law is not going to be a defense, not a valid defense in most parts of the world. And the fact that she didn't know that she was in violation of Russian law by inadvertently packing something, she had a medically prescribed prescription for cannabis. She did not transport that, what we're told, to Russia. What she did is she transported equipment, and there may have been some remnants. We don't know because we don't believe that. I have a real question about whether the evidence is actual evidence or whether she was framed and targeted because of political issues predating the invasion of the Ukraine. You know, she's a openly gay woman married to a gay woman in a pretty closed country, an Orthodox, a Russian Orthodox country, that is not friendly to the LGBTQ, what we call the LGBTQ plus community. In addition to that, I mean, she's tall, she's American, but the way that her case proceeded was in large part, I believe, due to politics. Maybe the initial infraction had less to do with politics in terms of global warfare, the fact that there's a war between Russia and the Ukraine, and we're in the middle as the United States. But when she did get these charges, she was a politically charged individual because of her personality, of who she was. And it begs the question, why should these exceptional basketball players have to troll the world to play just to make a living and to live? These women, phenomenal women basketball players, it's not the same with the NBA players. But for the WNBA, they had to do that. So there's so many factors here at play, Santita, that are competing factors. But the bottom line is 9 years in a penal colony. We don't even know what the conditions are in a penal colony. And so we can hope and pray that the diplomatic, because now it's in the hands of diplomacy, the worst place for it to be given our position in the war, but perhaps it will be ultimately the best place for it to be given the fact that the Biden administration appears to be exceptionally engaged. But I'm holding out for Reverend Jackson, because he has worked miracles in these situations. Now, they've made it more difficult because of the process, but Reverend Jackson, against all odds, Santita, you know this better than all of us here, has been able to work miracles with these types of situations. As I said, I participated in two events or two incarcerations, in two countries, Macedonia as well as Algeria. In Algeria, a white professor from Emory University of Anthropology was detained. And really would have been indefinitely, and her fate probably would have been more severe had she been convicted in Algeria. And then secondly, an African-American young man whose mother is a noted minister in Gainesville, Florida, who I've known for years. He was in Macedonia, and his crime was that he married a woman from Macedonia. That was his crime. That was why he was detained and charged and incarcerated. And they wanted him to renounce his wife, renounced his child, and he refused to do so. And that is why he was detained. So fortunately, your dad intervened. And this is recent. This is relatively recent, the past 3 years and past 5 years for both of these instances. And both of those American citizens were free and came home. In the case of the first detainee, she was released within 3 hours of your dad getting involved. We had planned perhaps to travel to Algeria, but it wasn't necessary, within 3 hours. And within the second, it was a little bit more complicated, but he was ultimately released and traveled home safely, and his wife and child then joined him. So, I believe.
Well, when we come back, of course, we're going to hear from Attorney Daryl Jones from the Transformative Justice Coalition, CK, and from Attorney Robert Petillo. But I want to come to you, Reverend Stephen Thurston, teaching pastor of Salem Baptist Church. The largest church in the state, but he's from a great preaching tradition, New Covenant, the Thurston family, iconic in the black church community and in all of Christendom. They just continue to pass that preaching gene from generation to generation. Reverend has always done this through the church, Pastor Thurston, and I'd like for you to speak to that, because he's never gone in as a political figure. And it's interesting, as political as he is, he's not a politician. I mean, he goes to visit people in hospitals all the time, even now. And people always want him to come in and pray with them from every conceivable background in religion. I mean, that's just, would you pray for us? Would you pray for me? And I remember we were in California. It's something that just, it was a moment. This family came into the hallway and they said, Reverend, we need you to pray for us. White family, our mother is dying and she's leaving. And if you could just pray over her, she's been comatose for a very long period of time. And Dad walked in and started praying over, and the woman woke up and started speaking. And they were preparing for her death. And that's happened more than once. I mean, it's a lot. Prayer is so powerful. But when you go in through these churches, they're so powerful. I mean, let us not forget, the ultimate conflation of church and state is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is a country. The City of the Vatican is a country, and they dispense passports through their embassies all over the world. It's a government. Remember that. But he goes in through the church, and so I want you to talk about the significance of that, Pastor Thurston. Back with more of the Santita Jackson Show in just a few minutes.
We can change the world, change the world, change the world. Oh, yes, we can change the world, we can change the world, change the world.
This is the Santita Jackson Show.
Wow, I cannot wait till we get back up on Facebook and YouTube so that you can hear these side conversations that we have on the Santita Jackson Show, coming to you from WCPT 820, the nation's largest progressive talk radio station, and AM 950 radio. I want to thank all of my listeners and my morning stars for staying engaged, and for being so patient. We're really, really working on this. I don't know what the problem is, because other people are remote and they're able to broadcast from home. It's just, I've had a problem, but we're going to work it out, everybody. But we've got Attorney C.K. Hoffley, who's been giving us, she had a background on not just Brittany Griner, but on how Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's had such really unparalleled success in getting American prisoners, prisoners of war, and American detainees released from hostile governments. How has he been able to do it? Well, he is a tremendously skilled diplomat. He's a minister, which, of course, gives you diplomatic skill. I mean, you have diplomatic skills because you've got to reconcile a lot of folks. Attorney Darrell Jones, Transformative Justice Coalition Chair. Attorney Robert Petillo, Southeastern Regional Director for Rainbow Push, who's been working with Reverend Jackson. And they've had contact with, I guess, various persons in Russia, in the media and in other realms. And, of course, Attorney C.K. Hoffler, past national president of the National Bar Association and the chair of Rainbow Push. But let's go to you, Reverend Stephen Thurston. As you know, and as we've been discussing, Reverend Jackson has been in the middle of, you know, he's done what people thought would be impossible to do. And he's been able to get people out, Americans out, and released from captivity. He's brought them home from governments that with whom we are in conflict. So what about the church? I mean, why do you think the church would hold such great sway in situations like this, Pastor Thurston?
I think that faith is an equalizer. Of course, you diminish or get rid of those who are on the extreme levels in their faith tradition. But that thing that's in us that connects us to the divine connects us to one another in amazing ways. And oftentimes, as I'm traveling outside of the country, when people find out what I do for a living, it changes the dynamic, the aura, the energy that's between us. There's a level of respect that's placed there. They see me as some type of guide as it relates to morality and dignity and values and justice. And so I think that's why your father is looked to and holds such power and presence, even in the international space, to move people to a place of justice and fairness and doing things that are right. At the core of all of our faith traditions is love, care, and compassion. And that's what people are looking for. That's what people need, especially in situations like this. We are the dispensers of hope. That's really our key heading in our job descriptions as preachers, as pastors, and even as people of faith. We're dispensers of hope. So people look to us to fuel them with that hope in situations. And we have here two instances of the least protected people in the world, black women, Breonna Taylor situation, and now with Brittany, the least protected in the world. And the black church specifically is filled primarily with black women. And so the issues that these two ladies have faced and challenged, it speaks to me as a pastor, as this is on a large scale, but in a micro way, I see this happening within my congregation. People who are in prison, people who are given sentences that really don't fit the crime, and then they turn to pastor, family turns to pastor to pray for, to visit, to take care of, to see to the needs of individuals in these situations and circumstances. And so I believe that faith thing, it's powerful, and it translates in so many different ways to impact and influence in a positive way.
So what about the fact that she is, you know, many people don't realize this is no longer communist Russia. This is a new Russia. And Russia, a Russia that is deeply, deeply religious, Orthodox. They are Orthodox in their faith. And many people make a lot of them not being LGBTQ plus friendly. I think they embrace people. They just reject homosexuality. And that is not, I mean, most religions do. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, because we reject people, which I think is wrong and crazy. That having been said, how do you square that, Pastor Thurston? I mean, people continue to mention, her orientation, and the fact that she's got a wife. But she's also a mom. I mean,
beyond all of that, she's a human being.
Yeah.
And people of faith have to recognize that she's a human being. God never separated people or cast people down for specific things. I'm a theologian, so I read the Bible a little differently. I understand historical, mm-hmm. cultural context and language, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. I speak those. And so some of the stuff that people have placed even on the Bible, it really isn't there. Misinterpretations. Mm-hmm. Jesus always looked at the humanity of individuals. May not have agreed with them, may have had opposing or opposite perspectives on various things, but he looked at the humanity of individuals and sought to meet their need. And whatever faith tradition you ascribe to, we've got to get to that core place. It's about loving one another. We're all created in God's image, right? And so mm-hmm. we've got to recognize that and see the God in each other and see all people as our neighbor. Taking on that the mantra of the Good Samaritan, that broadens our perspective of who our neighbor is. And if it's a living, breathing individual, that's our neighbor, who we ought to show love, care, compassion, and concern for. Because we always put ourselves in the position of the Good Samaritan, but rarely do we put ourselves in the position of the one who was laying there in the middle of that road half dead. You never know when you're going to need another human being, regardless of their orientation, their political party, whatever else you want to put on them, to serve you, to help you, to meet you in your place of need. And so I think if we switch our lens and see ourselves not as the helper, but as the one who might need help, it would open us up to look beyond some of the stuff that causes us to separate and segregate ourselves from other people who are also made in God's image.
Attorney Darrell Jones, what do you make of this? A penal colony, 9 years. Do you see a way out?
Well, good morning, Santita. And, you know, I think I agree with what CK was laying out earlier, that, you know, at this point, one of the things that needs to happen is that the family really needs to reach out to Reverend Jackson and to try to get some other type of involvement at this point in time. You got to remember this, that when you're dealing with Russia and you're dealing with Putin and you're dealing with Biden, President Biden, you're dealing with bad relationships that are already in place. And you know, I strongly suspect that, you know, in Russia, that the court there is going to be influenced by President Putin. And so when they put a 9-year out of a possible 10-year sentence in place, what they're doing is they're strengthening the negotiation tactics that Russia has in terms of negotiating for the release of Brittany Griner. That's what's going in place right now. And you know, I think that you know, the moment calls for someone to come in that has the political clout, that has the international ability to go in and to negotiate the release of Brittany Griner. What's going on with the Russian system with regards to Brittany Griner is that they recognize the value of the individual that they're holding. So if what they want to do is to increase their ability to have their own people released that are being held in the United States, the way to do that is to put such pressure on this high-profile person that they have within the United States that it will push the president of the United States, it'll push the department to be willing to negotiate more on behalf of Russia to get the release of their people. So those are the dynamics that I think that are in play right now. And I think that having a third party that is not related to the Biden administration coming in to negotiate this release would be what's necessary at this point in time. That's the only way I see anything happening that will lower the sentence that Brittany Griner has been rendered. But you know, to be clear, you know, we're talking about, you know, just some marijuana that is the liquid form of the marijuana that for vaping purposes or whatever, for medical purposes, that she was caught with. So it's not necessarily the crime that's at play, but it is the politics of what's at play. And that's what I think has to be negotiated out at this point. And the best way to negotiate that out is to have a third party, such as Reverend Jackson or someone similar, to come in to be able to negotiate on behalf of Brittany Griner. But it's going to require the Griner family to reach out for that to happen. And that's what I'm hoping and praying will happen, is that someone will reach out for a third party to come in to intervene, because the relationship between the United States and Russia at this point is not at at a point where I think that President Putin and President Biden will have people come together and be able to negotiate a release that easily for Brittany Griner.
Call us at 773-763-9278, 773-763-9278. Now, Robert Petillo, you said that there have been some, you had Reverend Jackson was on Russian TV, you said a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, Reverend Jackson made the humanitarian appeal even before the sentencing for the, to one, visit Brittany Griner, and then two, to petition the government to release her on humanitarian grounds. That we understand that what the laws are in various countries, but that at the end of the day, the entire caciabelli for Russia to invade Ukraine has been that they're defending Russian speakers in the Donbas region who were being oppressed by the Ukrainians, and that they want to rescue the Russian speakers in Transnistria who are being oppressed by the Moldovans and seemingly forced into the EU. And that if Russia has a vested interest in protecting their people by whatever means around the world, then through humanitarian means, you must have the exact same compassion for someone along the lines of Brittany Griner, Mr. Whalen, and other Americans who are being held there in Russia. And I think we have to keep that conversation going, because the faith community, the outside of government community, has very different interests than the governmental community. And I believe that that will be the ephemeral causeway by which Ms. Griner will be released at some point in the near future, because right now Putin sees this situation and sees opportunities for sanctions relief, for example, that are wreaking havoc on the Russian economy, opportunities to stop some of the American and EU support, which has swollen the Ukrainian military budget even larger than the Russian military budget. It's taken what was predicted to be a 4 to 5 day war and turned into a 200 days of trench warfare. So Putin's going to continue to push at the negotiating table for as much as he can get. But I think if we take it outside the realm of governmental affairs and into the realm of human rights and humanitarian issues, that is the best opportunity to secure a release of both Ms. Griner and other American hostages who are there currently.
What do you think, everybody? It just seems, I have to tell you, I was taken aback, CK, by 9 years. But then I said, you know, all of these arrests are political. You know, and I've talked to you, I've said that to you, we've talked about that many times, CK, Daryl, Reverend Thurston, and Robert. You know, because there's so many unconvicted felons walking around out here who've got a clean reputation. No, not necessarily clean reputations, they have clean records, CK. So we know that, you know, this is political, as you know, as these things are. You know, of course.
Well, you know,
yes.
It's political here. It's political here in this country. And it's political internationally for so many reasons. It's completely political. And when I say it's political here, how many people do we know falsely accused, falsely convicted, or given a sentence that is not commensurate with the underlying crime they're being accused of? It's political. We're living in a divided country right now that is mired with politics, and everything appears to be political. So this is no different. It's just unfortunate that we see the life of a young black woman compromised, hanging in the balance. And when she, and I listened very carefully, very closely to her plea, or when she admitted, quote unquote, to malfeasance or mal, you know, and obviously she was advised by her counsel that because under normal circumstances, a lot of people cop a plea because they're told by their lawyers, look, it's better for you to do that because you can get 25 years to life for this, and they might get 10 years. So a lot of people do that. And the way that it was worded was done very carefully, I believe, to not have an out-out admission of guilt, but to say that I did something wrong inadvertently. I didn't know. I didn't realize. But she actually plead guilty, thinking that that level of cooperation would gain her leniency and release, because you don't do that unless you think you're going home. I mean, mm-hmm. or there's some type of leniency. What she got was the exact opposite. And everyone from the diplomatic corps, from the reason why we know it was it's disjointed, was because of how the Russian legal analysts have looked at it. How the American legal analysts look, and that's one thing, because people have different interpretations of Russian law, but how it's perceived over there, even amongst conservatives, they believe it was excessive. So, you know, it's time. I think the family has to embrace, and hopefully they are embracing, Reverend Jackson's engagement. And, you know, that's a lot of pressure on Reverend Jackson. He always rises to the occasion. But he has his hands, not both of them tied behind his back, but one tied behind his back and the other one three-quarters tied. But one thing we know about Reverend Jackson, he's always free. He always gets his hands free and does what he does and pushes the family in the best position to secure her release. But there's got to be, I believe, a greater engagement across the board by those who are closest to Brittany, saying, yes, we want it, because you have to be given, even if you seek it, you have to be given the full authority to speak. In a meaningful way, and engage on the top level, so that the top levels of government in Russia, so that Putin understands, yes, this is humanitarian. Reverend does this. This is what he's known for doing, but he also has the ear of the family and of Brittany, because he, in essence, would be negotiating on her behalf. And for that, he must engage with her directly.
Where do we go from here? I mean, because more people are looking at this case. And I mean, do you think that has this gained international traction, Robert Petillo?
Well, I think it's more of an American story currently than it is an international story, primarily because one, in Europe, they're worried about Ukraine. They're worried about the 20 plus thousand Ukrainians who have died in military service thus far. The over 30,000 Russians have died in military service. Germany is currently rationing oil and natural gas because of the closing of Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 cancellation. They're worried about having gas reserves for the winter and fall. As you've mentioned, in the global south, this is not the Ukrainian war and all the things associated with it are not really the biggest deal to them. They feel that this is just a case of, as one African ambassador told me, white on crime, white on white crime at the highest levels. So I think we have to continue to make this a bigger international issue than it currently is. Because that is the type of outcry that will be needed, and that's where that humanitarian leadership is necessary. But for many countries, they simply see it as, we got our own problems here. Why do we care about a basketball player? And I think you have to take it out of that context and move it into the fight for human rights globally, because that's why how you rally that team of nations is needed to overturn an unjust system.
Attorney Jones, I mean, what's next?
Santita, I think that what is immediately next is that we've got to remember and appreciate how we've gotten to where we are with regards to the progress that's been made in the Brittany Griner case. And that has been because of the activism that's been in the streets, you know, on the roads, on the ground, and what the WNBA has led is that they have been pushing this issue. So I think we've got to continue to push this issue to be certain that it remains in people's minds and at the front of people's minds. That's our big thing right now, is to continue to push. And if by some way someone can reach the Brittany Griner's family to ask them to get Reverend involved, to get the third party involved, to help negotiate this, that's where we are right now. We've got to continue to push. We've got to continue to keep BG at the front of the conversation. It's still, in my estimation, isn't where it belongs with regards to the national news media and all the television stations. We've got to continue to push to keep it out there, to have that. You know, Robert made an excellent point when he said that he didn't believe that it had reached the international stage. We've got to push where it goes beyond the national stage and reaches that international stage. That's the pressure that needs to be brought. That's the attention that we've got to work and push to get in place, is that international attention regarding Brittany Griner, as well as all other Americans that may be held in Russian captivity at this point in time. But I think our next initial state, our next most immediate thing to do is to be certain that we are involved, we are engaged, we're rolling it out on whatever social media platforms we have. We're making calls to the White House to be certain that they're aware that we're concerned about this. We've got to keep this up. We've got to keep the pressure on. We've got to keep the awareness flowing. That, I think, Santita, is the immediate thing that we need to do right now.
So, I mean, everybody, what do you think we need to do? I think you need to call your representatives and let them know what you're thinking. Do you think that this is, I have about a minute for you, Pastor, Pastor Thurston. What about, I mean, can churches, do you think churches should get involved? Is this something you would speak to at your church?
Definitely. Because, you know, on a local level, we can raise our voice and continue to elevate our voice to the various levels of government. And I challenge pastors even the more, especially those who are tuned in, to elevate your voice. Your voice has to go beyond the four walls of your church. Your voice has to make impact on policy and politicians. Reverend Jackson won't be with us always. So who will be those faith leaders who have the voice to speak to international audiences that can do what Reverend Jackson has done for so many years? We don't need to lose that influence. It has to be translated, but pastors and preachers have to start using their voice now. They can't wait until Reverend Jackson is off of the scene in totality. And so, yes, we have to continue to speak truth to power and be the prophetic voice whenever there's an injustice, and speak into the lives and the hearts of people to make change and transformation for the betterment of all humanity.
Robert Petillo, basically, I have about 30 seconds for you. What's next? Robert Petillo? Well, then, CK, what do you see? What do you see? Oh, okay. Well, 30 seconds, Robert.
Sorry about that, but it was not acting friendly. What the thing has to happen is we're going to start marshaling the international community to really speak out on this. Many nations around the world are afraid of Russia, not because of their military, but because of their oil and natural gas and the ability to choke them off. And if it comes down to whether or not we'll have oil or Brittany Griner will be free, a lot of these countries are choosing oil. We have to lead with moral authority. That starts by reforming policy at home and getting the people in the room to have the conversation that can appeal to the Russian government on a humanitarian level, not simply a military and sanctions level.
CK, well, I've got about 30 seconds for you, literally.
Jesse Lewis Jackson, that's the next step. And in terms of the international community, remember, Nigerian oil is the sweetest oil out there. Gabonese oil, Angolan oil. So African countries can play a role in this. Jesse Lewis Jackson, Reverend Jackson, is the conduit to doing all that, in my humble impression. I'll leave it at that.
Well, and that's a whole lot to say. Well, you know, everybody, we need to free Brittany. We need to get her home. And, you know, next week, Attorney C.K. Hoffler and Attorney Robert Petillo and Attorney Jones and Reverend Thurston, please, I'd love for you to come back. We need to talk about Breonna Taylor. We had a situation similar to what happened to Breonna Taylor, as you recall, Reverend Thurston. Fortunately, she survived, but Breonna Taylor did not. Did she get justice? She actually got accountability. But we'll have to see how that's going to go. We're going to continue to talk about this next week. But everybody, free Brittany Griner. Bring her home.